How many of you here in the church, that are here today, of course, if you're not, you can't raise your hand. How many of you are planning to go on the capstone trip to Israel this coming June? You've already paid or you're planning to go? All right, we've got a few that are here this morning. Rhonda's got an announcement that she wants to make.
As y'all know, Rabbi Marty just got married, and he's moved a couple of times. And so for that reason, we're asking if you're still making payments on your trip, if you would, please just send them to the church and make it to Capstone Church and put Israel trip in the little note notation, because we want to be sure that you get credit for that amount.
It's not
and
delayed,
we don't want to so, we don't want it to get lost or anything in the mail, because there have been a couple of moves. We will have a meeting on March 12th. Several of you have been asking if we're going to have a meeting before we go. Yes, on March 12th, and we still have just a few spots available. So if you are interested in going, you can come to that meeting. We can give you more information. I think there's still some packets down at the information booth that have all the information in it. Just be sure and send your payment to the church now, okay? Love you guys. Thanks.
Thank you. That's Rabbi Marty's planning to move again. All right, it looks like. So we want to be sure that the payments are taken care of and not stuck in a forwarding thing in perpetuity. So if you're still making payments, just send them to the church, and if you want to pay in full, just send your amount to Capstone. Thank you, honey, for doing that. Take out your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. And while you're going there, I've got one final thing that I want to say. We've got, here in our church, we've got a real need for some people to step forward and do some ministry here in the house of the Lord, especially in a couple of specific areas. One is with our children. We need right now about 10 people. Everybody say, that's a lot. It's a lot. That's a lot. We need about 10 people to volunteer, step forward to minister to our children. Now, when I'm saying come and minister to children, I'm not saying you're going to be back there every week. I'm talking about you can minister to them a time or two a month, go into a rotation and say, I can minister to children, you know, a time or two a month. And if you can do that, that would be wonderful and excellent and beautiful. We really need that pronto. And so if you say, Lord, I'll be used in that area to help minister to kids a time or two a month, then please call the church office, or you can, after church is over, you can go right back downstairs to Marty Garza, Telegram Marty. You can go down there and you can see him and you can talk to him. Marty Garza, he'll be down in Children's Church today. You can see him and you can tell him that you're willing to be one of those 10. We also have a need in our home group ministry. We need people that are willing to step forward to host groups in their homes. And that, I know that's a huge, huge back-breaking commitment. I know we're talking about 2 hours a month. So I understand it's just a back-breaking commitment to do that. You know, I really realize that. But we need to get the Word of God out of the church and out there into the community. And you can be a part of that by coming to Pastor Roy and telling him, I'd be willing to open my home for a group of believers to meet in a Bible study once a month, a couple hours a month, and that would help us out tremendously. So we've got an immediate need in the kids area. We've got an immediate need for host homes. And listen, I remember something that my first pastor told me. He said this, whenever he would talk to us about needs in the church, he would say this. He would say, if I'm your pastor and if you can hear the Lord speaking to me, speaking to you through me, he said, and you've been sitting and listening to me teach all this time, he said, then you should know that our call is to serve one another. That's our call. And so all I'm asking you to do is say, Lord, am I the one? And if he says you're the one, then get a hold of the appropriate person, okay? And let's get busy for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm the only person that's not there yet, so hold on, I've got to get there. 1 Corinthians 1. Today, I would like to go a little further into the study of the Holy Spirit by taking a look at what the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, called the manifestation. Everybody say the manifestation. The manifestation of the Spirit. Do you know that a spirit that cannot be seen, by definition, a spirit, has the qualities of a ghost? That's why I'm calling this series Ghost. You can't see it with your natural eyes, but the Bible still tells us that there are manifestations, that the Holy Spirit is real. It's a real person. It dwells among us. And as we get together corporately and as that Spirit fills you individually, there are going to be manifestations of the presence of that Spirit through your life, through you individually, through our corporate experience together. And so that's what I want to talk about this morning. So 1 Corinthians chapter 1, we're going to begin to read at verse 4. And this is the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit writing this. I thank my God always concerning you. And the reason he's thanking God is for the grace of God, which was given to you by Christ Jesus. And that grace has caused you to be enriched in everything by him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ. Everybody say the testimony of Christ. Testimony of Christ. What's a testimony? A testimony is something which there's a declaration that Christ has been active or is active, right? When you give a testimony about Jesus and what he's done in your life, you stand up and you declare, this is how Christ is active. This is how Christ is real. Well, the Bible says there's a testimony of Christ within the corporate gathering of the church. A testimony that says Jesus is alive and Jesus is here. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about this morning. And he says that testimony was confirmed in you. Everybody say it was confirmed. In other words, there's evidence. There's evidence that Jesus is there. So that this testimony, this evidence has produced a situation in which you come short in no gift. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, so this testimony has been released in us, and we've got evidence of the testimony of Christ among us. And that testimony, all right, is active in the house, in the church, as the believers are looking forward to a day when Jesus Christ appears and returns for them. And he will continue this confirmation to the end. Everybody say, to the end. He will continue this evidence to the end. That you may be blameless. There's another work of the Spirit there as well. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I want to dig into this verse for just a few minutes. I think this is an extremely important verse or passage, a few passages of Scripture to the church of Jesus Christ today, and I think it answers a dilemma that we have within the church of Jesus Christ. What is this Scripture saying? I want to go through this step by step. What are these passages telling us? Number one, here's the first thing it's telling us. The grace of God has been poured out upon the church, which is made up of believers. Very simple. But the grace of God has been poured out. Everybody say it has been. It has been poured out upon the church and upon the individual believers in the church. It would have to be upon the individual believers in the church if it was going to be upon the church as a whole, because you are members of the body of Christ individually. So that's the first thing it tells us. The second thing it tells us is this. This grace that's been poured out came from Jesus. And it was manifest in an enrichment. It enriched our knowledge, or it enriched our firsthand experience with Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit has come and been sent in the place of Jesus to complete the ministry of Jesus, the discipleship ministry of Jesus with his believers. Jesus is not going to come to your house this afternoon and stay there. He may appear to you. He may talk to you for a little bit. But he has a place of victory, a place where he sits at the right hand of the Father. Okay? But he sent the Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. He said, the Holy Spirit's going to come because I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send the Spirit. He's going to parent you. He's going to be with you. He's going to guide you. He's going to speak to you. He's going to teach you. He's going to take my place in your life. He is going to complete the discipleship process that I was at work in my disciples. Since you live in this day and time, you're not going to get a secondhand Jesus. You're going to get the same Jesus as the early disciples did. He's going to come in the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's going to go home with you. He's going to go everywhere you go, and he's going to speak to you, minister to you, build you up, and talk to you your entire life, the entire time you're on this earth. That's what he's saying in this. All right, what else is this scripture saying? I'm excited. And I felt the Holy Spirit all weekend. God, the Holy Spirit was so strong at the funeral I was at Friday morning. I just wanted to stand up and scream, Jesus. I mean, the Spirit was moving. Woo! And then last night I was driving home. Man, the Spirit came into that car where I was. It was just powerful. This grace that we've been talking about, brothers and sisters, what else? It empowered the believers to express the thoughts and heart of the Father through the Spirit. It allowed them, it empowered them, it changed them into such a way that they were able to express the thoughts of the Father and the heart of the Father. Everybody say this has to do with love and character. Love and character. This has to do with the motives of God are able to be seen through you. The heart of God's able to be seen through you. The purity of God is able to be seen through you. The blessing of God, the presence of God is able to be seen through you. Praise the Lord. What else is this scripture saying? This enrichment of grace serves as evidence that Christ is in you and among you. That's what it's saying, the testimony of Christ. Confirmed. Everybody say confirmed. Confirmed. That's evidence. Okay, that's what that means in the original language. Evidence. The Holy Spirit moving in you, present in you, poured out through this grace, is evidence that Christ is in you and among you. Amen. What else is this scripture saying? This evidence was seen, because we'll talk about that in a minute, in the release of spiritual gifts. The release of the heart and character of the Father and in the release of spiritual gifts. It's what the Apostle Paul's saying in this passage. What else is this scripture saying? These gifts will be operating among them until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being made visible to all. Amplified Bible says it's going to be happening until He comes and He is made visible to every single person in the world. This grace is going to confirm, continue to operate in you until the end. What else is the scripture saying? The evidence of this grace also manifests in their blameless conduct. It's another thing we talked about a minute ago, which will continue until the day that Jesus returns for His church and for His people. This is a very important scripture, brothers and sisters. And I'll tell you why, because to me it puts to rest any thoughts of the cessation of gifts before the return of Jesus. They know what cessation is? That means gifts stopped at some point in time. Gifts stopped when the Bible was written. To me, that's a real awkward thing. I can just see somebody ministering in the Holy Spirit somewhere, and then right in the middle of it, all of a sudden it stops because the first Bible shot off the press somewhere. But to me, this church puts to rest, this scripture puts to rest the thoughts of cessation of gifts before the return of Jesus. And it's not contradicted anywhere else in the New Testament. Now let's go further into 1 Corinthians and let's look a little bit at what the manifestation of the testimony of Jesus looks like among us and in you. Verse 3, turn to chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 12. Cash is still excited. Man, he's still going. John, I think you got a preacher there, brother. His spirit's moving on him. He goes, yeah, yeah, yes. Lord, give us more cashes. Okay, and more cash too. 1 Corinthians, the Lord helps us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in verse 3 of 1 Corinthians 12, what it's telling us there is that the Holy Spirit is sent to magnify the Lordship of Jesus. That's really what that's telling us. It's sent to magnify the Lordship of Jesus. And when you go to verses 4 through 11, it's telling us that the Spirit, whose ministry is to magnify the Lordship of Jesus, distributes gifts or manifestations of the Spirit to individuals as He wills. In other words, He makes the decision as to which gift you get. Now, Wednesday evening, we spoke about mantles. And if you're not coming on Wednesday evening, man, I am having a good time. I mean, we're talking about some interesting stuff. We talked about the scapegoat. We talked about the changing of the guard in the priesthood from the Aaronic priesthood to Jesus's messianic priesthood. And last week we talked about mantles, and I know it must have been pretty good because Pastor Bob doesn't come up and tell me that was good unless it was pretty good. And he told me that last week, and I praise God for that. But last Wednesday night, we talked about mantles, and we talked about how the mantle of Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit, and that mantle's too large to just be carried by one person. The mantle of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, lays across the entire church. If the entire mantle was to be able to be carried by one man, we'd have a new Messiah. But it's too big for that. It's too powerful. You get it, and it's fully upon you. But you can't carry every single gift and every single empowerment that is released. So it lays on your wife, and it lays on everybody else in this room. And we all get part of that. It draws us together in unity as the body. And together we need one another. And as we operate under the power of the Holy Spirit, that entire mantle lays across this church. I've got it fully on me. But it's too big for me. And that's a good thing. Because if the mantle of Jesus fits too comfortably on you, you probably had to alter it to make it flatter you. Okay? But it's too powerful. It's too big. And so therefore it lays across the shoulders of His body as a whole, of all of us. And God uses every single one of us. So what's being said here? The evidence that Jesus is present in and among believers. How many of you believe that Jesus is present in your life and is present when we come together? How many of you believe that? Well, the evidence that Jesus is present in and among us is manifest in the presence and operation of the gifts of the Spirit and the character in the heart of the Father. Okay? Otherwise, it's a different Jesus from the one we see in the Bible. If it's not manifest in that way, then it's a different Jesus. There is no accurate presentation of Jesus unless both His power and His character are present. Did Jesus walk in power in His ministry? Did He? Yes, He did. Did Jesus walk in the holiness and purity and character of God? How can you have an accurate representation of Jesus being among someone if all of the gifts are not present, all of the things that make up the manifestation of the Spirit and the testimony of Jesus, if all of those things aren't operative and aren't present, then you know what? You might have a partial Jesus, but you don't have the full thing. You don't have the full picture. I pity us as a church if we get to the place where we say the holiness and purity of Jesus are here with us, but the power's gone. We're at the place, if we are like that, then we have come to the place like the disciples who did not go up the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, when he went up there, Peter and John, they went up with Jesus, came back down, and there was a discussion happening down in the demon-possessed valley where we all live. We all get to go to the mountain and spend time with Jesus, and I'm thankful for those mountaintop experiences, but we live in the demon-possessed valley. Peter said, I want to stay on the mountaintop. Let's build some shelters here. Jesus said, no, we're not going to do. The Father actually said, we're not going to do that. This is my son. Don't get distracted. Listen to him. So in a little while, they went back down into the demon-possessed valley. That's where we live. Okay, they got back down there, and a guy had a son who was demon-possessed, and one of the saddest indictments I see in the Scripture, I brought him to my disciples, and they couldn't help him. To your disciples. Not my disciples, yours. I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything. Without the power of God, that's where we are. We're here as a church touting the greatness of Jesus without the ability to do anything that Jesus did. We'll send him to a psychiatrist. We'll send him to a psychologist. And I've got a best friend who's a psychologist. I'm not against that. Send him to a godly one. Okay? But listen, we've got challenges. And it's just sad that we, the body of Christ, would have to look at the world and say, we have no options. We have no answers. We don't have the power to confront what the enemy is doing in this hour. Are y'all still out there? Okay. Got kind of quiet. I was just trying to figure it out. Jesus looked at them and said, O faithless and perverse generation. How long am I going to? I'm not going to be here forever. But you will. You've got to be able to meet these challenges because I'm not going to be here in the flesh with you forever. Then he said, oh, good Lord, bring him to me. He didn't actually say that. That's my translation. How many of you want Jesus present? Amen. You want a Jesus that can't do anything anymore, can't do a miracle? Is that Jesus? Now, we may have something. But we ain't got Jesus. Not the full thing. We may talk about it. We may extol it. I think one of the saddest things we can do to this generation is say, well, God did that before, but he just didn't do that now. I'm like, well, why in the heck would I want to be a part of this? Tell me again. Tell me again why I want to be part of this. If I'm going to serve a God that cannot do the miraculous in this day and hour when that's exactly what we need. We've got to have it. We've got to have this Christ we see right here in this Bible. We can't have less than that. It's going to fall short. We're going to be inadequate for the challenges of the day. Okay, so what are the manifestations of the Spirit? What time is it? 12:30, okay. No, it's not. Somebody got shocked. I'm just trying to wake a few people up. What are the manifestations of the period? That one. What are the manifestations of the Spirit? First of all, there's something called a word of wisdom. What in the world is a word of wisdom? That's a supernatural gift in which somebody can walk in it and it seems as if they have an answer, the God answer, that leads to the God-ordained solution for a particular problem. It just is something they walk in there. God just imparts to them the word that is needed for that situation, for that time, to bring about the right solution. Word of wisdom. Word of knowledge, what's that? Well, that's where the Spirit imparts facts to somebody they had no way of knowing before. Pastor Bob talked about a guy, prophesied and prayed over him one time. Pastor Bob, this guy didn't know Pastor Bob. He told Pastor Bob his address that he had lived in when he was a child. How do you know that kind of stuff? Did you fill out a card when you came in so that somebody on a microphone could whisper something in that guy's ear? He lived at 307 Corkscrew Drive. No, that didn't happen. Did it, Pastor Bob? They hadn't thought it. We weren't slick enough to think about that yet. It was still happening through the Holy Spirit. Word of knowledge. The Lord's telling me that you have this or you have that, or you came from here or you came from that. Faith, we all have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This is a gift that people can walk in, that they can believe for the supernatural power of God to move in situations. They just have that faith to believe for it. Faith to meet the situation regardless of what it is. Okay? What else is it? Gifts of healing. You notice that this is plural. Gifts of healings. I think my friend John, I think Rebecca and John both carry a gift of healing. I'm not saying I've ever seen them lay hands on somebody and somebody be healed. Maybe that has happened, but they carry a gift of healing in the emotional realm. The ability to speak to people and see them healed in the emotional realm, in the physical realm. Gifts of healings. Healing is also most of the time it's a progressive act. It can happen rather quickly, but sometimes it's also progressive. Nurses, doctors, it'd be nice if your doctor or nurse had a gift of healing. Some of them shouldn't be in that profession. I had a doctor one time, he'd come to talk to me about what was going on to me the whole time. He's keeping his hand on the doorknob. I was like, am I bothering you? I'm sorry. Are you too busy to see me? Maybe you're in the wrong profession. You know? Gifts of healing. I've been with a doctor that had a gift of healing before. But God has released gifts of healing upon people. And then guess what? There's the working of miracles. Miracles is something that happens instantaneously without any natural explanation. Don't you like those? Amen. There's been times where one time the Lord zapped me of something and set me free from it. And boy, those zaps are always great, aren't they? I love zaps. Everybody say, I love zaps. I love zaps. I do. And then one time I was going through something else, and I just figured that's what God was going to do in my life because he did it one time, and I just figured he's going to do it that way every time. And the Lord spoke to me the next time while I was waiting for the zap and angry that it wasn't coming. The Lord spoke to me and said, I'm not going to do it that way this time. I'm going to heal you gradually. I'm going to heal you through the same thing that was used to hurt you. No, I don't want that. That implies pain, transition, rehabilitation. I'm not into all that stuff. But there are times where God does a miracle. Prophecy, the foretelling and the forthtelling of God. Being able to foretell events before they happen. Being able to see them in the spirit and being able to foretell them. Forthtelling as well. Man, you can get up there and you can declare the power of God, the word of God out there. And the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It is the spirit of prophecy. The Bible tells us in Revelation. Discerning of spirits, the ability to discern the motive and where specific words or actions are coming from. It's good to have a counselor who has a discerning of spirit. But it's also tough. You get with a counselor who's got discerning of spirits and they're going to cut right through all your bull junk. All your self-deception. All the things that you've told yourself to make, to deceive yourself, they're going to cut right through all that. Okay? But that's sure something that's needed in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Hallelujah, praise God, let's go on. Different kinds of tongues. Why would God do tongues? I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit in a minute. Different kinds of tongues. The ability to speak a language you don't know. But most of the time, I don't think you're just saying, I'm just going to speak all these words. I actually think people do that when they're praying in the Spirit. They just say, I'm going to pray in the Spirit. And they don't realize they're praying in a different language. That has happened before. I've known of instances where that has happened before. Okay, but then also praying in a spirit language. We'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. The interpretation of tongues, the ability to be spiritually enlightened as to what is being said through a prayer tongue. And you know what? It's not just in the corporate setting. It's not just in the corporate setting, but it's also when you're praying in the Spirit. A lot of times God is able to show you what you're going on. A lot of times I pray in the Spirit, I start seeing things. seeing visions. You understand what I'm saying? And I start realizing, you know, I'm getting a grip as to what's going on here. Okay? All right. That one was quiet. Romans 12, service, the ability to minister, a call to just minister, to just get out there and just give your life away. Dorcas Fisher has this spiritual gift, her and her husband both. Spirit of service, and a gift of service and ministry. Teaching, we know what that one is, right? The ability to declare God's word and unfold it in an anointed way. Exhortation, the ability to build people up, a spiritual gift to be able to speak into people. You ever gotten around an exhorter and then you get down and you think, I need to call exhorter again. I need to call E. Exhorter. Need to get back because, boy, they have the ability to speak into my life and, man, just build me up and make me feel better. Giving. That sure seems like a base gift, Pastor. No. Giving is the nature of God. It's the heart of God. The ability to supernaturally give. The ability, I believe, a spiritual gift to be able to see that what you have belongs to God. And that you're not here, no matter how much He puts in your hand, to hoard up for these last days, as James said. That we're here to give. God, everything I've got is yours. Whatever level you tell me to live on, I'll live on that level. And then the rest of this, man, is used to help other people. Giving, the gift of giving. Leadership, okay? Mercy. I think we know what most of those are. The ability to lead. The ability to pull together groups of people. The ability to declare the purposes of God in such a way that people hear it and take ownership of it. And say, I've heard that, now I'll step into my part of this. Leadership, mercy, the ability to, a spiritual gift is to have mercy on people, to love them, to go the extra mile with them, to get down in the dirt with them. You ever seen somebody clean up somebody's poop and their vomit? Somebody that was struggling, hurting, sick? Okay, that's a gift of mercy. I'm not thinking of how bad this is to me. I'm thinking about what's going on with this person, and I need to help them. Administration, that's the ability to organize and pull things together. That is a spiritual gift. Boy, that's good to have a secretary or a leader that has the gift of administration. You ever worked under somebody that did not have a gift of administration? Okay, then you know what I'm talking about. All right. And finally, the gift of helps. Well, these are people that are just willing to support the work of God and just gifted just to dive in and just do all of those things that are necessary but maybe not so visible. This, brothers and sisters, is the manifestation of the testimony of Jesus among us. This, along with the character of God. How can we have a true manifestation of the Spirit without all these gifts being active? The Church of Jesus has little problem with some of these, but we do have some disagreement about tongues and prophecy. Well, the Bible tells us what tongues is for. It's strange to me, too, in a lot of ways. But let's talk about it a minute. The Bible tells us what tongues are for. It's for the strengthening of the speaker. So when you pray in the Spirit, you get built up. You're strengthening yourself. Release of power is happening. Everybody okay? Everybody still out there? It's for intercession. We make groans in the Spirit. We pray in the Spirit with groans that cannot be uttered in our limited language. We're not able to speak exactly what we need to speak, but the Spirit is able to pray through us because it's not limited by our words and our languages. And in some cases, to speak to the church with the aid of an interpreter. It's a Spirit-based language. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that when I pray in the Spirit, my spirit prays. Everybody say, my spirit prays. My mind, my mind. My mind is unfruitful. Every other language in the world you can get through Rosetta Stone. Right? You can go on Rosetta Stone or Babel. I don't like that one because of the name. But some of those other websites, and you can start learning a language, you know, because every other language in the world is learned from here. Mind, mouth, out. Mind, mouth, out. The Holy Spirit prays and it doesn't operate that way. You don't, there's no Rosetta Stone for tongues. I want to learn to pray in the Spirit. Can I order Rosetta Stone for speaking in tongues? There is not one. Because tongues is not released that way. It does not operate that way. It doesn't operate mind, mouth. It operates spirit, mouth. Spirit, mouth. Everybody say spirit, mouth. Spirit prays out of your mouth. And most people are not comfortable with something that doesn't happen in their mind. Everything in the world has got to happen in my mind. I've got to be able to understand everything that God's doing. Well, you're going to serve a small God. If that's the way you are, your God's going to be awful small if he can fit everything that he's going to do in your finite understanding. I'm trying to wake up the sleepers. So the Lord told us about tongues, so what part of the Bible is he violating by using them? The Lord told us about prophecy. What part of the Bible is being violated by the existence of prophecy? The same Apostle Paul, who it is said, everybody say it is said, prophesied the ending of some gifts, tongues and prophecy. It's said that the Apostle Paul prophesied that, said after the prophecy, that many people said he prophesied the end. After that, in 1 Corinthians 14, 39 and 40, said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. That's our challenge. Okay? But that's the same Apostle Paul. I'm almost finished, I know. I still got 7 minutes, so relax. Now, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14, you want to know a lot about spiritual gifts. If you want to begin somewhere, get into 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. According to that, the Spirit is given to the church to cause the church to walk in the manifestation of Jesus and the Lordship of Jesus. And these chapters tell us how those who have the testimony of Jesus in their lives live and minister. I don't want to be a part of a place that says, well, I can't do anything for you. Sorry, all that stopped. I don't know why, but we can't help you. We can't pray for a miracle. We can't pray for sickness. Do you know most people believe that stuff till they get sick? Then that all goes out the window. I can remember I went to a healing seminar one time, and I bet you that 75% of the people that were at that healing seminar came from backgrounds that said that the power of God, miracles and healing and all that stuff had stopped. When you're sick, you have a revival of faith. Now, as I've said this many times, anytime you're going to have the Spirit moving in a house where the testimony of Jesus is there and the manifestation of the Spirit, it's going to be a messy endeavor. Guess what the whole book of 1 Corinthians is written about? Clean up the mess. Listen, brothers and sisters, it's just not messy now. It was messy in First Church. It was messy in the early church. It was messy in Corinth. Paul had to write that. Most of the letter of 1 Corinthians was written to answer questions and clear up problems and abuses in the church. If the Apostle Paul, when he got through clearing all that up, he never came to the place. He said, look, I'm just going to prophesy the end of all this stuff, and that'll take care of it all. The Apostle Paul got to the end and said, covet earnestly to prophesy and do not forbid to speak in tongues, because those were the gifts that were being used primarily out of order. Okay? He said, let's let it be done in a way that reflects the heart of God. Gifts plus heart equals Jesus. Gifts minus heart doesn't reflect Jesus. Heart minus gifts doesn't reflect the real Jesus. Got to have both operating. The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to stay with this because this is the testimony that Jesus is among you. We're all growing and learning. If we weren't growing and learning how to do spiritual gifts, our God is too small. I'm learning that. How many of you are still learning how to flow in gifts and how to use them in every situation, when to use them, when to say, when not to say? Let's say it again. How many of you are still doing? We all are. I am. Apostle Paul said, every time you get together, there's everybody, if the Spirit's moving in that place, if the Spirit's moving where you are, everybody's going to have a tongue. Everybody's going to be getting a revelation. Everybody's going to have a prophetic word or something. He said, that's a good thing. He goes, that is evidence that the Spirit's moving where you're meeting. He said, but not all that stuff needs to be given in that corporate setting. He said, God has a plan for that meeting. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not unusual. It ought to be happening that you're sitting out there and you're hearing something. It ought to be happening that the Holy Spirit's moving on you. That ought to be happening. Okay? But that doesn't mean that all of that stuff is to be given. He said everything needs to be given for the edification of the church, and the Lord knows what needs to happen in that time, that period, that hour. Okay? Otherwise, we'd be here all day. Now, I don't mind that, but I bet you would. Let's be honest. Sunday's my work day, so you won't be here all day? Honest? Let's be honest. If the Spirit's moving, somebody say, yeah, I'll be here all day if the Spirit's moving. Well, I think the Lord thinks that you're not really going to want to do that on a long-term basis. So he's concise. Everybody say the Lord's concise. He's to the point. Everybody say the Lord's to the point. Everybody say the Lord doesn't have any problem communicating. He doesn't. All right, I'm done. Then the Apostle Paul ended with this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. That's what he said. Okay? Let him acknowledge. Because in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 13, where people feel like the Apostle Paul was prophesying the end of the gifts, that something perfect was coming, and when that perfect's come, we're not no longer going to need to speak as a child, think as a child, and all those kind of things. The Apostle Paul, when he talked about that, he talked in two different ways. He began to share. Well, let me show it to you. 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go to the end of the chapter and we'll finish, okay? We've got 1 minute. 1 Corinthians 13. I'm there. If you're there, say, I'm there. I'm in 2 Corinthians. Oh. Why couldn't they have named it Billy Joe and 2 Tobias? All right. It says, love never fails, verse 8, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there's knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. And many people think that the perfect is coming. They interpret that as being the Bible. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. So the Apostle Paul's saying, okay, I've already put away all this childish stuff in my life. But then the Apostle Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than y'all, in another part of the letter here. But he says, I've already put all this away in my life since I've become mature. For now look, he's talking in the context of all of us together, not just himself, but all of us. He says, now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now every other usage of face to face in the scripture was used when we would see Jesus face to face. Okay? Why didn't he say page to face? Now I know. Now look, now he's talking about himself. Okay, he moved from all of us together to me. He says, now I know in part, but then when? Then when the Bible comes, I shall. Well, he ain't going to be here when the Bible comes. That happened a long time after Paul died. But then I shall know just as I also am known. He didn't make it to that point. So what does that sound like he's talking about? Then, when I stand before the Father face to face, then I'm going to know fully. I'm going to understand, just as I'm already known, they already know me and who I am, then I'm going to come into that revelation of who I am fully. You see? You really got to stretch to try to get that to mean that tongues and prophecy have ceased. You really got to stretch to try to make that happen. Okay? So the manifestation of Jesus, the testimony of Jesus, the manifestation of the Spirit among us, this great big mantle that we carry, so large that no one can carry it by themselves, that it lays upon all of us. Everybody say, we need one another. We do. We need each other. And all of this stuff, we're all growing and learning about. We're all learning about it every single day. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. The closer you get to Jesus, if you're getting closer to Jesus, certain things that are fundamental are going to really become solid in you. But the closer you get to Him, you're going to realize there's tons of stuff you don't know. Because you're drawing near to the finite is drawing near to the infinite. And I'm grateful for that because that makes this a great adventure. Exciting, wonderful, praise God. All right, we're going to pray, but I have one little thing that I want to read. Before we pray, it's real quick because I want to let you guys know what you have done in this church, and I want through that, I want to praise God. This is an email that Tina McClendon sent to Darby about the ladies' jewelry exchange, the UGM ladies' jewelry exchange here at Capstone. How many of you ladies were able to be a part of that? All right. I want to read this to you. Tina is writing that she went to UGM for her regularly scheduled chapel service. The women there were hugging her and thanking her and Darby for such a wonderful time on Saturday. They were all smiling and showing all the jewelry they had got from the exchange. They got together and they wrote the sweetest thank you card. Leslie Kinney, who works with the women there, right, at UGM, sent a very sweet thank you email to us for doing such a wonderful job. But one of the two best things was one was when Reverend Stanley took off his glasses and looked me in the eye and said, your church is the absolute best church that we're acquainted with. Now, how many churches is UGM acquainted with? A lot. And I don't mean that, okay? I love all those churches. They play a role. It's not a competition. Everybody say it's not a competition. It's not. He said there's no other church that shows the UGM people the kind of love that Capstone does. He told me that the ladies have not quit talking about our event and how all the Capstone women made them feel loved. He said there have been a few tears shed over this event and the sincerity in which it was done. Before service, the ladies were saying how incredible it was, and they handed me the thank you card, but the very best part was when one of them said to me, you made us feel like women again. I praise God for that. And I want to thank all of you for being used by the Lord to minister to people out there. So let's just thank God for using us. Father, that's no credit to us. We thank you for using us, Lord. It was you that they saw. It was you that they experienced. It was you that spoke to them. It was the gifts came from you. It was you that encouraged them. It was you that lifted the women up. It was you that made them feel blessed and touched. It was you that gave them a glimpse in being able to see that you have a hope and a future and a plan for them, that you love them. Father, we thank you for the testimony of Jesus among us and the manifestation of the Spirit. Lead us and guide us as we walk in this great adventure. Father, I just pray that you in all things will be glorified and magnified, because this is all about you. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to ask our home group leaders to come down to the front.